Blog Talk Radio.
Back. This is Sound Health Options on Blog Talk Radio. On our show, we try to bring you information about future medicine using sound as a method of supporting the body's own unique ability to heal itself. We believe that frequency is our new medicine as well as an ancient mystery revealed, because when you look back through history, mankind has been using music and sound and humming and cooing as a way of soothing our needs to not feel pain and disaster. I'm so glad you could join us today, May 30th, 2010. I'm Sherry Edwards, your host, and we're going to be talking about something very, very special today: the neglect and needs of our returning veterans and how you can help. And we're going to talk about this in a very special way. We're going to be talking just in a few minutes to Cindy Auker. She's a dedicated trooper for traumatic brain injury. She's an expert for the returning soldiers who have these issues. She's an advocate for them. She currently serves as the coordinator of the Community Support Network at the Brain Injury Association of Ohio, based in Marietta, Ohio. She deals with countless families and individuals suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. We will be with her in just a few minutes after we hear some announcements. As most of you know, we're sponsored by the Sound Health Research Institute and the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology. Our loyal listeners know about our Guardian project, and that really came out of a project we did with the Army for traumatic brain injury, and then we talked them into adding post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. We finished up that project in March, and we found 9 consistent frequencies that indicated that there was a closed head injury. And we did it to our satisfaction because we've been doing this for a couple of decades and just really wanted to help the returning soldiers. Well, actually, this was to help the soldiers on the front lines, because they would have these acoustic blasts. A mine would just blow up in their face. And they were so dedicated. They wanted to go back in and help their comrades, even if they were hurt. They put that behind them and just didn't tell anybody, and then they'd go back, and the second blast just was much more than just one blast, because they'd already had damage. So they wanted to find a way, the Army did, to look at those soldiers on the front lines without having to send them back to the hospital or wherever they send them. And I'll have to tell you that I don't agree with this war. I totally agree with supporting the troops that are getting hurt, but I think it's gone on way too long. I think it was started for a bad reason, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But we were able to look at 9 frequencies by taking a group of men that we knew had a traumatic brain injury from the Army, and they gave us their vocal prints. We ran them through our system, tested them, and created a computer program that will depict traumatic brain injuries with these 9 frequencies. And that would say, if you have 5 of these, you definitely have an issue, and you need to get off the front line. because you're going to get hurt worse. You may just pass out, whatever happens to be your symptoms. So the traumatic brain injury is now a realized computer program, and there's one called post-traumatic stress disorder. And we are going to offer that to the public for free if they join our Guardian Network. And that's our lawyer doing it, says, in order to do this and not get into any issues with the FDA, that we have to have what he calls an expressive network. And that means what we teach you inside this network is our business. And the FDA can't come after us and say you're practicing medicine without a license. We are really just creating management reports to send to these people's physicians, but there is an issue with that at this point, and so we're going to be talking about that too. So we want to give away our software programs to the public for them to start communities that can help these soldiers. You know, the next meeting we have, I think it's June 10th, but I'll look it up. It's about nutrition. And a lot of the times, these folks just, they don't have enough choline. They don't have enough B vitamins because they've been in such stress for such a long time. So those are the kinds of things that you can identify and address with either food or nutrients. We wanted to do this because the returning soldiers are attempting suicide at an alarming rate. And that's what this show is about, and that's what we want to share with you today. The call-in number is 347-850-1407, and our chat line is open. You can post a question there at the chat line. Go to blogtalkradio.com and then Sound Health Options, and then down at the bottom there's a chat. And we have posted, I think I've posted all of the articles that we're going to be talking about today and how to get to, in touch with them. I did not post how to get in touch with the Guardian Network. If Richard, if you would post that for me, that would be great, because I can't type and talk at the same time. So any of you want to look at that, and Richard also posts the actual articles, I think, at drop.io/nanovoice. The word drop, drop.io/nanovoice. I'll see if I can get that typed in there. Also, there's archives. I think I put those up. Some people are saying your show is on a really inconvenient time, 9 o'clock in California in the morning, and I want to go to church, so how can I listen to this? Well, go to the archives. It's just blogtalkradio.com/Sherry, S-H-A-R-R-Y, dash Edwards. And that'll take you to any of the archives that you can listen to. We did have a question come in of people wanting to know how they could get their free vocal profile. So I've posted that link for you. It's just www.nutrasounds.com. And you just, there's a link there on the front. Just go down, fill in little blanks. It says your name and where can we call you to set up your appointment, and we'll meet with you right online so you can watch what is going on. Other articles, there is a big article sent to us about a listing of all of the medications that they think have contributed to suicides of some of the bombers, some of the school kids that have gotten really out of hand and shot people. So just to look at some of those medications, it's, I think I have a list of them here. Prozac, Paxil, Zoloft, Luvox, Cymbalta, Wellbutrin, Celestra, and Abilify. All of those. Okay, Talk to Me Guy just posted. By the end of the show, all the links here will be at the drop.io.nanovoice.com. website. Thank you. Could you also post the guardian or guardians, I guess it's plural, guardiansofthepeople.com so they can go in and sign up for this network, because we're going to be giving away this post-traumatic stress disorder software for people to use in their communities. We also have an article posted there about suicide statistics and another article about the increased suicides of the guys coming back and gals coming back from the Iraqi war. There's another article there posted that we're going to talk about from Dr. McCullough. Actually, there's two articles from Dr. McCullough that we're going to talk about today. Today's question, and I didn't post it yet. If I get a minute, I will. And this is a question from General Smedley Butler, who wrote War is a Racket, where he's talking about it's to make money for a lot of people. It is just disastrous for our economy. So I'd like to ask the question, do you think that the current war is just a racket? Here's some of the quotes from his book. There are only two things we should be fighting for. One is the defense of our homes, and the other is our Bill of Rights. War is a racket. It is the only one intentional, can't read. It is the only one international in scope. It is the only one in which the profits are reckoned in dollars instead of the loss of lives. My mental faculties remain in suspended animation while I obeyed the orders of higher-ups. This is typical with anyone in the military. War is just a racket. I believe in adequate defense of the coastlines and nothing else. So he is really against sending soldiers to die in Iraq and on foreign soil, and he is particularly against not serving these soldiers when they come back. And I was recently talking to a Dr. Payne, who is in our state, I think he's in the state government, and he said he's very, very concerned because many, many doctors have gotten in touch with him and said that the government is pushing them not to prescribe or diagnose these returning soldiers with post-traumatic stress disorder and traumatic brain injury because they don't have the money to pay for it. Not that they don't want to, they don't have the money to pay for it. Well, in my mind, that's totally irresponsible. If they can't take care of the mess that they created, then that's irresponsible. So our call-in number again, 347-850-1407. And I'm jumping back and forth between the two to see if there are people. And we do have a caller who've raised their hand. I am going to call on them. And caller, this is number 1368. If that's your
Hello.
Phone number, you're on the air.
Yes. Sherry, this is David. I haven't been on the air with you for months now. I don't know if you recognize my voice. But I
recognize the voice.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about our subject?
Yes. I've had a skull fracture when I was 3. So I'm a little emotional about this subject. And then I had had my head sliced. As far as I know, nothing serious was spilt out in 87. So I've had two good knocks, and you know, this regular life, a few 2x4s here and there. But so this is, and I'm helping to bring your stuff to my community in 2 locations so far. I've had people test the Nano Voice and stuff. So that's, I'm here to listen.
We should get you on the traumatic brain injury. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. We've got a couple of announcements more. So thank you for calling and spreading the word, and we'll come back to you.
Okay.
We have some information from our audience. One is about milk allergies, and that was sent to us. I think that one might have been sent by Madeline again. She sends us lots of good stuff, and I can't find it in my papers here. Here it is. And this was posted on Dr. McCullough about permission needed when buying raw, unprocessed food. The FDA is making the sale of raw milk illegal. And it says that in several states it's okay to have this, but it's raw milk. I know here in Ohio you have to put on it not for human consumption. But when they pasteurize milk, they take out the good bacteria as well as the bad. So if you're asked about milk, or you want to know more about it, or milk in your state, it's Mercola, just Mercola.com, and you can get it. It says, the FDA never had any grounds for making a sale of raw milk illegal in the first place. Even a quick review of the data shows that this food, which the FDA claims is so harmful to human health, is less harmful than countless food products that have earned the FDA seal of approval. In their lawsuit, FDA points out that the CDC statistics from 2007 showed over 7,000 outbreaks of foodborne illness related to bacteria that resulted in 678 hospitalizations and 11 deaths. In the same year, in using CDC data, raw milk was responsible for only 32 of those cases, which amounts to 0.5% of any airborne bacteria. Further, there are only 2 hospitalizations related to raw milk and no deaths, whereas 3 people died from drinking pasteurized milk. So just a bit of information there from Madeline. She also sent us another McCullough article. FDA says you have no right to real food unless they give you permission first. I think this is a bit of a catastrophe. And some of the things that the FDA responded to a lawsuit that banning raw milk in interstate commerce is unconstitutional. Their rebuttal contained the following extremely concerning and outrageous statements. This is about the milk again. The FDA is making these statements to Americans. There is no absolute right to consume or feed children any particular food. I would think we have a God-given right, an intrinsic inborn right to eat food. 2, there is no deeply rooted historical tradition of unfettered access to food of all kinds. So they could throw you in jail and not feed you, I guess, from what the FDA is saying. Plaintiff assertion of a fundamental right to their own body and physical health, which includes what foods they do and do not consume for themselves or their family, is similarly unavailing because plaintiffs do not have a fundamental right to obtain the food they wish. FDA's brief goes on to state that even if such a right did exist, it would not render FDA regulations unconstitutional, because prohibiting the interstate sale and distribution of unpasteurized milk promotes bodily and physical health. Therefore, there is no fundamental right to freedom of contract. Excuse me, this is kind of nutty. You don't have a right to feed your kids milk? Wow. Another article that came in was sent in from Eileen, and we have put the link up, and it's Suicide Meds. So it's the third one down in the chat room. And it's an article about how soldiers are injected with reams of vaccines, and I guess by reams she means lots and lots, then misdiagnosed as mentally ill and stressed. And she goes on, following is a list of 2,500 suicides, and she really says homicides, of soldiers and other civilians forced to take meds for their symptoms instead of getting to the bottom of the problem. Sherry, can you announce these meds and please let people know that this kind of thing is listed in your post-traumatic stress disorder software? And again, Prozac, Paxil, Zoloft, Luvox, Cymbalta, Wellbutrin, Celestra, and Abilify. When I first heard that on the news and looked at it, I thought it was Abilify, A-V instead of A-B. And I thought, well, that's a good thing to name it, because it looks like, from the statistics that Eileen sent, that it is causing lots of deaths. Two other articles we put up there for you. One from the Army Times. Increase in suicide rate of veterans noted that there is a 26% increase in attempted suicides from 2005 to 2007. The other article is VA Veterans Administration strike to prevent veteran suicides, and in 2009, there were 98 veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan that took their lives, and that the Veterans Administration is attempting to redouble information and hire people to help these returning soldiers. Cindy Auker, our guest, has an organization that's attempting to help these returning soldiers. Cindy is from the Brain Injury Association of Ohio. And I just flipped the whole page here, and I didn't mean to. We talked to Cindy earlier this year because we had gotten in touch with Charlie Wilson's office. He's a member of Congress here at the Ohio 6th District. And we put a program together about co-creating a better tomorrow for today's wounded warriors. And it was about disseminating this PTSD software to the world, and they just didn't have money to fund it, so we have gone ahead and funded it on our own. But Cindy is aware of that program. She currently serves as a coordinator of the Community Support Network at the Brain Injury Association of Ohio, dealing with families. So Cindy, welcome to the show, and thank you for being on with us.
Thank you, Sherry.
Could you speak up just a little bit?
Sure. Thanks, Sherry.
Can you tell me a bit about this organization and your involvement, why it got started?
Well, the Brain Injury Association of America, along with the Brain Injury Association of Ohio, was started by family, friends, and loved ones of brain injury survivors. And that was around 25 years ago, and we've just been going on and on since then, trying to advocate and provide supports for brain injury survivors in Ohio.
What kind of supports do you provide?
I usually get the phone call saying that they need help, and I ask them, they ask me what I could do, and I say, what do you need? So anything that a family needs to try and find supports to stay and heal in their own communities. That sounds pretty vague, but it's basically information, resources, education, support groups, just being there to talk through the daily problems.
This must be an absolutely heart-wrenching as well as an incredibly rewarding job.
Oh, it is. It's the worst job you'll ever love. I get to work daily with miracles, and it's very heart-wrenching when you try and find services that are just not there, but it's very rewarding to be able to help the individuals succeed in their own communities.
How are you guys funded?
Right now it's a little bit shaky, but we're funded through state and federal HRSA grants and through the Ohio Rehab Service Commission.
Do you take donations?
Oh, yes, we do.
Money kind or equipment or any kind? Or?
Anything. We have a website, which is www.bioh.org. And we do have memory donations and places there that you can sign up to honor someone that you know that has had a brain injury. We also use whatever other resources we can find to help enable our individuals.
I'm wondering why a private organization is ending up trying to fill the gap that the Army should have. If that's too political, don't answer it.
Well, it's not that we're trying to fill the gap. We're working with. For the last 5 years, we've collaborated with the Ohio National Guard. We build our own state's capacity to address the needs of our service members. We've worked through a program called Ohio Cares, and that's www.ohiocares.ohio.gov. And that's a group of individuals from state agencies, the VA, the National Guard, and community-based providers that are working to try and solve these problems for our returning soldiers.
When we have talked to a lot of these soldiers, and they just seem to run into a dead end trying to get some help, is that when they should come to you, or should they come to you first?
They should come to us first. In the past wars, when our soldiers came home, we'd all gather around and throw a big parade. Today, we don't know who our returning soldiers are. We don't know what their needs are because they're quietly coming home after being rehabilitated somewhere else. So most times, they don't even know about the Brain Injury Association and the other coordinations that are available in the state of Ohio. So if you think that you have a brain injury, feel free to go to the website and send an email, or we also have an 800 number, 1-800-444-6443. And anyone in the state can use the website or the toll-free number to receive a CSN coordinator close to their community.
Can you give some of the symptoms of a brain injury, traumatic brain injury, that these soldiers might be experiencing?
Well, the first thing you think of when you think of brain injury is you think of the loss of memory. But it's not just the loss of memory or the physical problems of headaches and dizziness. There's that unbelievable fatigue, the bone weariness fatigue, where they just can't think of process. The slowing down of their abilities to do things that they used to be able to do without any problem whatsoever. And then you also have the problems with the behaviors and judgments, quick to anger, quick to cry, quick to tire, just impulsive, unable to really think through a problem before jumping in and acting. And then, of course, there's a lot of denial, the inappropriate behaviors, and the self-medicating with alcohol and other substances.
Is this the same kind of thing with traumatic or post-traumatic stress disorder? Are these same kind of symptoms?
They're very close. They're very close, and that's especially the behavioral side and the cognitive thinking process. When you add depression and brain injury and depression and traumatic post-traumatic stress go hand in hand. So when you put that depression, the anxiety, and just that loss of knowing what to do next together, it's a very sad mixture for an individual to try and live with. And they're always afraid to go and look for the help that they need because, you know, they're strong, they've been our soldiers, and now they're home, they don't think they need any more help.
In the people that we have dealt with, it reminded me of a neurotic elephant that I saw just swaying trunk back and forth and back and forth because they don't know the next step. And it's very, very frustrating to them to not be able to pull that out of their brain. And I know one guy came in and he said, I've been told what to do for the last so many years. I don't know how to think for myself. And when we started to look at his vocal print, he actually had yodio, which is a protein that indicates there's brain damage. And he did not have the diagnosis of brain damage whatsoever. But if they had used this new program that the Army's just now beginning to test and look at, that we did, in finding these 9 commonalities, Yadiel being one of them, they would have known that there is a brain injury, synaptic problem, electrical problem, connector problems. But there's just so much anxiety, and it doesn't allow them, from what I perceive, to fit themselves back into their family, to fit themselves back into a job and their community. So do you have those kind of counseling services available too?
We can link, yes, we do link to those type of services. Oftentimes it's just being able to put their problems into words that opens up the beginning of healing. You know, they've gone so long keeping all of these changes that they've seen in their lives to themselves, they don't want to share it. And just having someone to say, well, you're not going crazy, this is why you're doing it, it just really opens the door for them to be willing to go to a professional to receive counseling and treatment.
This is probably going to be a touchy subject, but in our talking with Dr. Payne and his concerns that doctors are coming forward and saying the government is encouraging us not to put these labels on these soldiers. For one, it is a stigma, and two, they don't have the funds to pay for it. Isn't this, well, you could comment on that, and I see it as a pattern. It happened with Vietnam and Agent Orange. It happens with the Gulf War and Gulf Syndrome. And now this war seems to be so much more stressful than the other wars.
Well, they're saying that, you know, there's over 360,000 veterans of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan that may have suffered a brain injury.
Good.
Now, yeah, that's a lot. But the next number they say is only about 45,000 of them were considered serious traumatic brain injury survivors. Okay. It's the ones that aren't considered the serious traumatic brain injury survivors that I'm afraid of. I'm worried for. Because, you know, brain injury is not an excuse. It is a diagnosis. You have to have your diagnosis and then set your plan of recovery. If we don't have that diagnosis, then the individuals are wandering around out there lost, not knowing which way to go in the storm, so to speak.
I know you work closely with Charlie Wilson's office, who they're really trying to help, but this would seem that these doctors should get together and say, no, if this diagnosis is what it is, it's what it is. If you don't have enough money to pay for it, tough. I mean, can we, as the public, help with that problem?
We can always have the public call in and encourage our congressmen to join. We have a program called the Traumatic Brain Injury Act through Congress. That's how funding comes across. So, yes, that's a very important part. Contact your local representatives and let them know that you want us to take care of the individuals in our communities that have suffered a brain injury and post-traumatic stress. But, you know, the other side of it is there are so few resources in the state of Ohio to help with traumatic brain injury that oftentimes, you know, they just know that the individual will be better off just living the life that they have, or at least
mm-hmm.
that's what I've been told.
Well, we're not going to put out the traumatic brain injury program until we get some feedback from the Army, but we are putting out the post-traumatic stress disorder. That's one of the programs that we'll be giving away. I want to make an announcement, and you probably know about this already, you're probably involved, that Charlie Wilson is doing, I didn't put the times here, is doing a gathering. Is it on Monday, Memorial Day, that he's doing this?
I believe it was.
And to talk to the community about providing incentives and businesses to hire recently discharged unemployed veterans.
Right.
To expand housing assistance for disabled veterans. And they're looking at the GI Bill and putting that back. Well, the other thing is about personnel and that kind of thing. But he made a statement that I really liked. On the battlefield, the military pledges to leave no soldier behind. As a nation, let it be our pledge that when they return home, we leave no veteran behind. Let us honor their service with words and deeds worthy of a grateful nation. I just think that is...
Isn't that beautiful?
It is. Okay, we have another caller. We're going to go to 5605. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, 5605.
Yes, I was just wondering if there has been any thought given over to interpreting these brain injury symptoms in reference to sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system aggravation. There's a Dr. Gonzalez in New York who is involved with cancer therapies, and he has a long list of protocols in interpreting that type of information. And from the symptoms described in the traumatic brain injury, it sounds like that these injuries and the impact on the veterans, it's forcing an imbalance between sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems that cause all of this these symptoms to surface.
Cindy, do you want to answer that? I can't.
Well, I'm afraid I can't either.
Can you tell us more about this and maybe post information on the chat so that other people can get in touch with this article and information you're talking about?
Well, I'm the other half to this party that brought this up. And what you can do is you can search the Price-Pottinger Foundation. Pottinger, in the beginning of the early 1900s, worked on the autonomic nervous system, and the sympathetic would be more the vegan lifestyle, throwing them out of balance if they eat too much meat and their bodies are set up for more of a vegan aspect, and then the parasympathetic is more the meat eaters, that if they eat too much vegan, and they're actually built up genetically more as a meat eater, then that throws them off balance. So if they have toxins in their body that they haven't methylated out, like Sherry has in her methylation programs, then that builds up and they're not moving through the biochemicals and methylating out like they should. And the foods that they eat as a problem to them start creating another aggravation, and it just layers and layers and layers.
Can you spell this Price-Pottinger organization that you're talking about?
Pottinger, I think it's P-O-T-T-I-N-G-E-R. Price is Weston Price Foundation. So what happened in the early 1900s, there was Dr. Baird, and he was working on cancer issues, and then you ended up with Dr. Price, who was another dentist, that went and looked through civilizations in the 1930s and looked to see the foods that they ate and how they did well, genetically speaking, in their little niche areas on the planet, and if they diversify from the foods that they were genetically built to eat, then they run into these problems with the autonomic nervous system. And then Pottinger also worked on the autonomic nervous system, that's P-O-T-T-I-N-G-E-R, and then you put all these fellows together along with Dr. Kelly in the 60s that was trying to help Steve McQueen, and that didn't quite work out very well, but he has a big database of information. He's passed on, and Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez has continued his work.
The only reason I mentioned it is the list of symptoms that these soldiers display, where there's agitation and there's hyperactivity, and they're unable to they're unable to manage their personal relationships all sound like symptoms that are displayed when these imbalances occur. And it does result down the road in cancer because these imbalances, of course, leave the whole entire body unable to manage these problems.
So this is something that the families or the soldier themselves could look up and review.
It's a bit complicated, but then the best way that it was handled, like when Dr. Kelly in the 60s, he had metastatic cancer, and the physicians told him that there's really no hope for him. So what he did is he took every single supplement, and he tried it on his body, and he had a very large mass below his rib cage that he was able to feel. And he would take, for instance, beta-carotene, and he would see within hours if that mass got bigger or smaller. And he found out that some needed vitamin A. They're the people that are parasympathetic dominant because that's the animal form. But the sympathetic dominants are the vegans, and they need beta-carotene instead of the vitamin A. And he went down the complete list. And this is the basis for how the body functions given your genetics. And I think that this PTSD and the traumatic brain injury, when they have all these toxins infiltrating their systems, like the Agent Orange and all that you're talking about, that's layered on top of this basis of not having the proper diet given their genetics.
We should tell people, too, that vegans is people who don't eat animal products,
right?
Eggs, milk, meat, anything like that.
Right.
One of the things I want to ask Cindy and bring her into this, in the statistics you have, are a lot of these people developing, a lot of the returning soldiers, are they developing cancer?
I'm not hearing about cancer so much as I am the dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease type syndromes.
Well, you Alzheimer's and dementia and those kinds of things could come from what we know, because we have a program for Alzheimer's, from choline that is, and
right.
But B vitamins, which is really negated when there is so much stress, and cortisol,
right.
And those kinds of, I want to put something together here.
Along with what you just said now, Sherry, the Parkinson's is considered to be a lack of sympathetic branch functioning. It's more of a dominance of the parasympathetic.
Right.
That's why they have, there is the syndrome, I can't remember the exact name, where the person that has Parkinson's just loses their ability to stand on their feet because
mm-hmm.
they don't have the blood flow to the feet. That's the sympathetic nervous system. So it's Parkinson's is based on lack of sympathetic activity.
And dopamine and a lot of other cascades,
right.
And choline that we're looking at. Cindy, the people who come to you, I want to put a project together so that we can, for free, in our office at least, other practitioners would probably need to charge for it, and that they absolutely need to do that. But we could look at these people and at least look at their nutrition and get you back a report, particularly depression, anxiety, those kinds of things, and help in the general vicinity, at least, of these people. So I'll have our office send you information.
Great.
About that.
And
I'd
Sherry,
love this. Go ahead.
Another thing is that has she really looked at 10-15 years down in the future, because if the cancer begins, many, many cancers are not very fast-growing. There's a group of them that are, but so many of them are 10-15 years in the making, and you see that through your research.
Cindy,
right, Sherry?
Yes, and I do see, I am seeing individuals from as far back as the Vietnam War in my office, and we are seeing... of course, I need to clarify, living in the Mid-Ohio Valley, it's not the healthiest place to live, and we do have high incidence of cancer and diabetes. But I'm not seeing the coalition between the brain injury and the cancer that you're speaking about. But then again, I haven't really had the opportunity to study that.
Stress causes diabetes, stress causes overweight, stress causes thyroid issues. And those are things that I think we could separate out and really help the people, particularly when the doctors are getting bombarded with requests not to call these people post-traumatic stress disorder. Cindy, do people need to come to your office, or can they just call this 800-444-6443?
They can call the 800 number, and they'll be referred to a person in my position as close as wherever they live.
So these are all over Ohio?
It's all over Ohio, and I believe that's the national state hotline. So if you call it in from California, they would redirect the phone call to the office closest to you.
Does this cost anything for people?
No. No. We are a nonprofit organization that is here to advocate and help for individuals with brain injury.
Hello?
Hello.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it sounded like someone hung up.
Yes, it was one of our phones.
Okay. Do they have to fill out an application? Do they have to prove they're a veteran?
No.
No. No, not at all?
Not at all. Through, you know, our program, as I said, is free. They're free to call us in. They can also, if they do not want to contact the Brain Injury Association, we have our Ohio Cares regional offices that can be really that can be reached at the one number I just gave you. I've lost my notes, of course.
800, the 444 number?
Yes.
444-6443.
That's it.
One of the things that we do well with is phantom pain. And when you look at these guys and women coming back that's got their legs blown off and their arms blown off. So those are the kinds of people that you could refer to us, because there really isn't anything the medical establishment could do for this. I'm going to bop in on David here and see if he has any response. He still has his hand up. David, I told you that we would come back to you.
Attention. Yes, I've just recently gotten connected with some brain injury support people here in Eugene, Oregon, and back connected with the whole public health system here and a mental health drop-in center and the like. And I got a friend in Tennessee who has had half his foot amputated, so I'm glad to hear that phantom pain has something to do with all this, or might be able to be dealt with.
Well, we just pretend it's still there, and as if there is a pain going on, and we are not allowed to say we treat it, but we provide them frequencies to do the same kinds of things as if the limb was still there. Are you finding enough support, David, or are they giving you the runaround at all?
Oh, for me?
Yes.
I had a brain injury real early, so it interfered with some of the, you know, developmental process, and I was actually part of a scientific process here through the University of Oregon. I grew up in this town, so. And there wasn't much they could do back then. So through my lifetime, I've generated, well, what can I do? And I'm more of a provider of help than seeking it much myself.
What kind of help do you provide to veterans?
I teach. Let's say I facilitate. That's what I'd prefer. I facilitated some NLP study groups before, and I've been asked to start doing that again, if you know what neuro-linguistic programming is.
Yes, I was just going to ask you to explain it. It's a way to get the body to tell you what's really going on when your brain can't, or when your words can't.
Oh, yes. I like that. That's great. I'll have to remember that one. I've also involved with spreading Bruce Lipton's and Rob Williams' psychological kinesiology work. I've been trained in that. That is related with Bruce Lipton. So, and I heard him on the radio with you.
Oh, he's a sweetie. He's such a real person. And I noticed the Talk to Me guy has put up the Price Pottinger and the Institute of Heart Math. Do you want to put up your stuff, David, how people can get in touch with you?
I'm going to defer that for a moment. I have somebody to, quote, produce me. I use that term instead of, you know, boss, secretary, whatever. Because most of what I do is I just go into a situation and I figure out what can be done and I just improv it. Believe it or not, I've developed some acting skills over time. So.
Well, in helping people get their stuff out, sometimes you need to do that.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm going to go back to Cindy now because there's a couple of other things that people want to ask her.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on. Cindy, we have a question from the audience, and I'd like to caution people. This is like a 10-paragraph email, and I'm just trying to gather out the little pieces of it. Please try to keep it short. But they're talking about what we can do with the government, through the government, to force them to provide funds to you. This lady thinks this is absolutely atrocious, that you have to take donations and get funding from other places, that this is the responsibility of the government, and she wants to know if there's anything that she can do, and she says, force the government to pay for their own mess.
Let her verbiage be known to her congressional and state representatives. That's the only way to do it. The more people that call into Charlie Wilson's office and say, you need to make sure that this is funded, the more likely our government will pay attention to these individuals and help make sure that they're totally taken care of.
I also find it appalling, Kate, so I'm with you on this letter. But she, you can tell she's just raging angry. She just says she doesn't even have anybody in her family who's has a problem with this, but to hear us talking about it, she really wants to push to have something done. So you think calls and letters?
Calls and letters, yes.
There's other things that I've seen on the Internet, like a petition thing. Do you think those work?
Well, that's a form of a call or a letter. When you put your personal story behind it, it really does. When they can see their constituents' needs, and hear their stories and know that their election counts on it, then yes, I think calls and letters work. I'm for anything that will get the word out there. And even though your caller does not have anyone in her family right now that suffers from traumatic brain injury or post-traumatic stress, you need to remember every 21 seconds somewhere in America, an individual suffers a life-changing traumatic brain injury.
Wow.
So, and it's not one that picks on a certain class. It used to be that men between the ages of 13 and 18 were the most likely individuals, but now it could be anyone, any race, any economic standing. Matter of fact, the more money you have, the more toys you have, the more likely you are to suffer a traumatic brain injury.
And I would look at it, too, from our community, which is rural and poor with very little industry, that a lot of the kids here end up in the service because they see it a way to get out and get an education, particularly now with the reinstatement of the educational benefits.
Right.
So we see a lot of it here. There's probably not one family in our little 600-family community here in Albany that hasn't been touched in some way or doesn't know somebody that has gotten damaged or killed
right
in this way. Well, I want to let people know that they can go to Nutra, N-U-T-R-A, sound.com, and they can sign up to have their vocal print done. And we do one or two a day. And, Cindy, if they put down that they have been referred from you or they know you or they've heard the show, we will give them priority.
Oh, thank you.
And we'll do nutrition for them if they'd like. We'll do the post-traumatic stress disorder. Maybe we'll sneak in a few other things to really take care of this. And then at that point, they would need to be referred to a chiropractor or a nutritionist or someone that could help them in that way. I think if we get these people's nutrition up and running, and this is a good food for you and this isn't, and talk to the families and get them involved, that would be really important. And if they want to come to our center, again, on Nutra, N-U-T-R-A, sounds.com, there is an application for being one of our research guinea pigs, I guess you'd call it, subjects. I'll call them subjects. So if you want to come and see us or just come and visit, we're in Albany, Ohio. If you ever get to the town, we're the great big brick building on the highest top of the hill, and Cindy, you're welcome to come and visit also. I think one of our people came and visited your organization for a day to see how we could help.
Oh, yes. We had a wonderful visit.
And we need to follow up on that and really get somebody trained in your organization. And I will provide, if you choose somebody, I will provide them entrance into our Guardian Network as, I don't know, a courtesy to your organization, because the network has monthly dues associated with providing people these computer programs. Not much. The computer programs we give away every month are worth $300.
Wow.
And people are paying a monthly fee of $40 to have the class and the computer program that they get to keep and set up their own business if they would like. So there's a lot going on. And so if you choose somebody, we will see that they become a part of that network, and we'll help them set this up in their community and just go from there. And it's really selfishness on our part, because if we can get somebody else set up in all these different communities, then we're doing less work and getting more data, because people are expected to bring the data back to us. We only have a couple of minutes left. Is there anything else you want people to know about your organization and what they can do and how they can get involved?
If you're a community member that would like to learn more about serving and helping individuals with brain injury, we do have a statewide conference. I believe this year it's November 1st and 2nd. Our webpage has all of that information. We're
Give
always
that again.
It's www.biaoh.org, Brain Injury Association Ohio.org.
Okay, and so you need volunteers to just help get everything together.
Sure. We have fundraisers here in southeastern Ohio. I believe it's next weekend in Noble County. We're having a race walk for thought. All the money gathered from that will stay there in the Noble County support group. We had a statewide one coming up, I believe it was last 2 weeks ago, and that was another walk for thought to raise money for scholarships and such for the upcoming conferences, for classes and stuff that individuals find necessary to improve their life. We just need people to know about brain injury. The only cure for brain injury is prevention. We need people to be aware of them, to buckle up and keep themselves safe and prevent the brain injury, and to call us if you need assistance after a brain injury.
Okay, we have a couple more callers, and I will get to you after we go off the air. There's just about a minute left, so we will answer your questions. It won't be broadcast, but it will be on the archive and the recording. To let you guys know that those of you who are members of the Guardian, our next meeting is June 13th. At that meeting, we will be providing you the nutrition software and the class. I'm going to be appearing June 18th and the 20th in Rogers, Arkansas, at a transformation conference that Dolores Cannon is putting on. You can get in touch with our office, or we'll post it on our site. Danian Brinkley is going to be there, and Lindsay Wagner, the bionic woman. We'll be there doing vocal prints. Any of you veterans want to show up, we'll do your vocal prints for you. Be doing personality profiles, PTSD, muscles, So please get in touch with us. We want to get involved. Thank you for listening to the show. And remember, nobody has all the answers. Listen to your own inner guidance. Well, I think we are off the air, and I couldn't get the music to come back on, so I'm going to open the mic for phone caller 1551. You're on the air, 1551. Well, you're not on the air. You're just being recorded.
Hello?
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 Hello, my name's Leslie, and I'm here. I'm a friend of David's who called in previously here in Eugene, Oregon. I had a traumatic brain injury in 1970, and I want to thank you for your program. And there's a lot of resources out there that I have not yet connected with, but would really like to connect with you. The thing about the anger is devastating. It just devastates families. I was back in South Bend, Indiana, in 1983, when the National Head Injury Foundation was first started, and was really involved at the time, and back in Indiana, and then moved to Georgia, and then moved to California, and now moved up to Oregon. So I've been all over the country, involved with brain injury associations and head and people with head injuries, and know intimately the devastation that it wreaks havoc on people's lives. And I think it's, we have to remember that it's a nonpartisan issue, because there's not just the government has really let us down. I think it's really has let us down. But anyway, I just want to let you know that I'm here, okay?
Thanks, Leslie. And if you want to get your vocal print done, we'll do it for you. Go to Nutrasounds.com and just tell them you heard the show. And there's anxiety and there's choice kind of issues in your voice of not knowing which choice to go to. So impulsive.
Yeah.
Kind of things, so maybe we can help you out. And it's
I'm going to do that. Okay, thanks. Okay, the medications, I've been on the Prozac and the Paxil and the Cymbalta and many, many others over the years, and that probably didn't help any.
Well, get in touch. Nikki will do your voice, and if she doesn't have time, I will come on and do it. So let your friends know. Post this on any blogs about it. And we'll get information to these people, and we'll get them help. And anybody who wants to train to do this, they can get in touch with me. I'll post my email address, Sherry, Sharry, on air, A-I-R.
Wait one minute. You have to slow down. What is that again?
Sharry.
Sharry. Okay.
On air, all one word, Sherry on air. At gmail.com, and I just posted it on the chat here at Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Yeah, there was a mailing list. It was called TBI Working. Yeah, a lot of people with TBI were. It was a I don't know what happened to it. I used to be on that. Yeah. Anyway, okay. I'm not able to coordinate everything, but thank you.
Well, thank you for calling in, and thank all of you for listening. I certainly appreciate it, and hope you'll join us next week.
Okay. Bye.
Bye now.